Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful September 28th day, 2019, as we take a look at what I need to know. Now, I get these little short bursts from people who listen to the radio program and email me, and I'm very grateful for all of their wonderful emails. I deeply am grateful. And so they offer me some insight into where their head's at, as it were. And they ask these simple yet, you know, insightful little questions that have a lot to do with the way they live. And we'll talk about them. I have three that I've chosen that I think will be helpful. I want to remind you, we're in our fall fundraising. That's really what it is. Our mystery donor is matching all year-end donations at this time. I'm very grateful for that. He is a very kind person trying to help us sustain our radio program. He understands exactly what I'm doing and what it's all about here at Aspire, helping people at hospice, the hospital, my new Batmo project, which will be unfolding next month, and the opportunity to serve people like you here on radio and on my TV programs. So all of your donations go to serve humankind in very different ways than most people. It's not just charity. It's more than that. It's helping them understand the way, the truth, and the light that lives in all of us and how we can live in that truth and that light within all of us. And that changes many, many things. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor, our mystery donor will at this time match your sponsorship. So let's say you give $25 a month, he'll make it $50. That's really, really, very kind and generous. So we need your help. We need you to sign up. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see, you know, the whole thing of year-end donations. There's a wonderful little story there about easy. And it has to do with the way people think. And they always want the easy way out. And I have a very interesting little story there for you to help you become a sponsor, help humankind. Your gifts are tax deductible. And more than that, you will be helping so many people you may never meet in the flesh. But believe me, you're helping them, especially when you think of the kids that will be serving here in our local area with clothing and all sorts of gifts and things to help them become kindness crusaders, to make a change in the world in children. And maybe they'll go out into the world and do some of the most beautiful things that this world needs, which is, well, as Burt Bacharach said, love, sweet love. It's going to be a very, very powerful experience for me and my students as we venture into helping young people. I hope you will be kind and be generous. So I get these wonderful emails with little tidbits about, well, what about this and what about that? And I'm always thrilled about this. I really am. It just makes me very happy to know that in some way I'm reaching. And more than that, that you have questions. And so people ask me, you know, will you answer this? Will you answer that? So I'm going to answer some questions today, and hopefully it will serve many of you. The first question comes from Ron. He lives in Northern California, he says. And he asks, what will happen to the world eventually? Will it be destroyed? Well, Ron, I am no soothsayer. Believe me, I'm not. And if you really knew me, you would understand that I'm more an optimist than a pessimist. I don't really believe that that helps anyone, though, to be honest with you. I just don't. I don't think that being an optimist is, you know, something that helps the world, and nor is a pessimist. So I'm not looking at it from that point of view, frankly. I'm looking at what we're doing to the world, just like probably anyone else is looking at what they're doing to the world and what we all do with our trash and all of that. But I think you're asking the question, will we destroy ourselves? And if we do, it's going to be slow and painful like it is now. We see a lot of this kind of stuff going on in our weather. It really is disturbing. I don't know. I really don't know, Ron. I hate to say that to you, you know, like you asked me a question, I don't know. But the way the evidence is pointing, it isn't in a good area. And it isn't looking good, frankly speaking. And it looks to me like we're getting down to the nubs, as it were. And if that is true, and we are getting down to the nubs, then from what I have read, we will eventually destroy ourselves, and we will become extinct, and we'll have to start all over again. And how that will look, or the way that will look, how do I know? I'm not that bright. I'm really not. But I think it's a concern for everybody. So what to do? What to do? Are we doomed? Should we live as though we're doomed and just say, what the hell? And just, you know, kind of live our life in accordance with, you know, it doesn't matter anyway. Why should any of us care kind of thing? This is the way a lot of people think. I don't feel that way, and here's what I feel. Mother Earth is something we need to understand. We need to merge with. We need to adopt in the way nature works and understand why we are here on this Earth, who we really are on this Earth, what our role is on this Earth, and begin to harmonize with the Earth, with the laws of the earth, rather than try to escape it through the paranoia of our own mischief, our spiritual mischief. We're in a spiritual experience here, whether we understand it or not. And if we don't understand our place on this earth, if we do not understand the care and keeping, the household care and keeping at least, of the earth, we have not conformed to an authentic spiritual practice. We're not here to have everything we want. We're not here to get everything we think we deserve. We're not here to, quote, end quote, earn a living. We're here to find a life and then make that our living. And that is a totally different concept than most people have. So when you're talking about the idea of are we going to destroy ourselves or what will happen, if you watch human beings, if you've done any kind of watching throughout your years, Ron, you will see they take advantage of everything. They don't tell the truth. They cheat. And this is why we have laws and governments and all that, because we can't govern ourselves. We refuse to govern ourselves. And because we take this attitude all the time, we need other people to tell us, do this, don't do that, say this, don't say that, blah, 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 blah. And we go on and on and on with this rigmarole of spiritual mischief to nauseam. So what am I to really say to you? You need to understand the nature of your life, the nature of this earth, the nature of what it is to be here, the honor, the privilege of being here, and then to take all of this and kind of merge it with your lifestyle, and you need to take it very seriously. Now, who's going to do that, really? Nobody. Very few people. Little pockets of people here, little pockets of people there. And that's it. We live according to the matter of our taste, our biological taste. We're natural born killers. We eat meat. We think nothing of it. It makes us ruthless. It makes us basically unkind. It makes us hard to be with. It makes us hard to live with. It makes us at war with each other. And we are always looking for a fight all the time because genetically and predisposed to our DNA, we are always just trying to survive. And to us, it is natural selection and survival of the fittest. Are you going to change that in yourself, Ron? I mean, really, if you look at it, are you really going to change that within yourself? Do you really think you'll change that? Probably not. But you're going to wish you had. But by then it'll be too late. There is a huge metaphor for taking care of the earth. As you learn to attribute everything to the principles of love and kindness, the principles of order, and you discipline yourself to that order. In other words, I wouldn't do anything to you that I wouldn't want done to myself. There's a real simple one, and Jesus gave us that. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's simple. That's a part of the BATMO project, is to teach children to treat each other as they would want to be treated. It's a very simple concept. You would think most people would just gravitate towards it, but they won't, because they are much more interested in being superior to other people. And this constant need for superiority over another is just DNA. It is trying to be better than. And we do this constantly. This is our survival of the fittest. We are natural born killers as a biology. And to tame the beast that is Greg or is Ron is a part of the process of inner awakening. But we don't do that. We don't see any need to do that. Hence, I don't know where the earth is going. And I know a lot of people take the attitude, Ron, well, I won't be around to see it. That is such a selfish thing to say. I mean, really, it just is so deeply selfish, I can't even comment on it. But I guarantee you, it all catches up to us. And why do you think we're here on Earth, Ron? Maybe we took this attitude in other places, in other lifetimes, and now we find ourselves here facing our own music. Something for you to think about. The antidote? Do the best you can in every given moment to serve love. Find the order of your life. Find out who you are. Work upon yourself. See who you are. See how you love and what keeps you from that journey. We don't have much time in a course of our lifetime. We really don't. It is very important to sustain a lifetime through love, compassion, forgiveness. Thank you, Ron, for your question. And please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Sid. You don't hear many people named Sid anymore. It's an interesting name. Remember Sid Caesar? I vaguely remember. Anyway, what will happen to all of us who can't meditate, Sid? Oh, that's a really powerful question. I am not the definitive answer here, okay? I want to make that clear. But it seems to me as a meditator that those who choose not to develop meditation inside themselves, they have no loving lifestyle. They don't know what love is. They only know what chaos is within themselves. And people have very chaotic lives because they don't meditate. They're only worried about what they can get, how they'll survive, what they want, who likes them, who doesn't like them, how much money they have, all of that. You will probably, you know, be in a great deal of tension and worry and frustration and die the pedestrian mentality's death. That's it. Meditation is a chance to see what I call the other shore. the other shore that lives within you, within me. This other shore is so beautiful. It is so lovely. It is delicate. It is precise. It is playful. It is music. It is mystery. It is constantly changing over and over and over again. It is unbelievably interesting to me that most people will not meditate. They will not discipline their mind. And why? Because they don't want to. It isn't that they can't. They don't want to. They've allowed their mind to run rampant all their life. I write these beautiful commentaries for my students and for any of you who want to read them. They're very inexpensive subscription, $15 a month, and you get a podcast, video cast, and commentary twice a month. They're very, very beautiful. They really are. And they're about a man, me, who was on a spiritual quest all of his life, and the things he encountered both as a student and the things he encountered as a teacher. Things that were difficult, things that are still difficult. It's all about meditation and the process of meditation. It isn't about indexing my life through outer events and circumstances. It's about a process. Well, most people, Sid, are not interested in the process at all. They don't care. They just want to be right. Right is everything. Women want to be essential. Men want to be right. And this is their stance with most of their life. They never understand what it means to be meditative. Are you a result of your biology, Sid? Or are you a result of your meditation? Well, obviously, not meditation. Because if it were meditation, you would be looking at your life, your inner life, in a very different way. You'd be looking at it as the course of compassion, forgiveness. You would have a sense of profound mercy. So for those who don't meditate, they will live in a merciless life. That's what will happen. And in that merciless life, we will come to conclusions about this world, our life, and each other that are totally false. We will judge according to appearances. We will judge each other and hate each other or love each other based on our biology, our chemistry in our body, in our brain. The neurons will fire off the same old way. We will never see anything in the light of the way it truly is, but we won't care because we'll be so selfish and narcissistic, which is really becoming a huge problem in our society, in our world, that we only think about ourselves. As long as I get mine, it doesn't matter what you get at all. The word excuse me, the phrase I should say, excuse me, will mean nothing to people. And because of that, there are consequences for everything that we are doing and that we do. And we will sit there in awe and amazement at how such great wealth has made its home in such poverty. We are that poverty. Meditation is a link to authenticity, to the authenticity of what it means to be authentically what you are, spiritual. Now, that word spiritual has been used and misused so much. It's like God. It's been used and misused so much. Love, used and misused so much, they have lost their meaning. But for those of us who meditate, there's much more meaning to it than we can imagine. There's much more meaning to the state of our life than we can imagine. We don't see things for the way they are. We see things in the darkness of our own perceptions. And those are based in biology. So, what will happen? We will try to understand, but won't, and give in to our preferences, our personal preferences, which are created out of our genetics, our DNA. we'll live strictly as a slab of beef, you know, slab of meat. You'll go into the hospital and you'll be treated like a lab experiment. They will miss the part that basically is human, but totally ignoring the divine because it doesn't exist to the literal-minded pedestrian mentality. You'll meet a lot of smart people who are very good at whatever it is they do, but that won't override their ignorance because, my dear one, we are only as smart as our ignorance allows us to be. It's one of my great insights about myself. I'm only as smart as my ignorance will allow me to be. Because in the bottom line, it isn't about knowing it all. It is about being it all. I hope that helps you. Sid, bless your heart. Thank you for your beautiful email. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, this is from Joseph. He does not tell me where he lives. What can any of us do to really be spiritual? There are a couple of things you can do. There are many things you can do. I don't know what you term spiritual, okay? I don't know. If you think it means high and mighty, you're wrong. The first thing is you cultivate humility. Humility is the most important aspect of beginning a practice. It is the I of myself know nothing. It is that which lives within me that knows. If you are humble and seek not adoration, but compassion and mercy for all around you, everyone around you, you have begun the authentic. You have to get over yourself. And if you can't do that, which I'm afraid most people cannot, it lends itself to some real difficult things. Number two, you have to be willing and teachable, something Jesus taught as meekness. The meekness of coming to your heart and living from the heart, living from the teachings of the heart. This puts what should be first, first, and what should be last, last. Most people can't do this because what is first is their relationship to their DNA, which means survival. So they become ruthless. And in that ruthlessness, they make all sorts of karma for themselves. And there is a huge issue there. So you have to be teachable, willing to take a different kind of lifestyle. Next, you have to forgive. There are many things about ourselves we need to forgive. Our cruelty, our stupidity, our harshness, our ruthlessness. We must admit that we know nothing, that we have lived a very harsh life. In our effort to survive, the means never justified the end. It didn't. And you need to see that for yourself. No one can see that for you. You have to do it. So forgiveness becomes very important. Of course, all of this leads to mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is everything. It's a form of spiritual discipline that really formulates the meaning and substance of a person's life. So if you can do that, if you can do those things of which I have shared with you briefly here, and you can live in simplicity, solitude, and silence, you can change everything about your life. And that will bring about the authentic spiritual life that lives within you. The practice is a discipline. The practice is a method. The practice is the practice of love in your life. I got to get out of here. I'm running late. Thank you, Joseph, for your beautiful question. I hope it helped, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, thank you for listening. I have another program for you tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Hey, become a sponsor. Help us, won't you? Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.